Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Take two.
I'm back for take two.
All right. Yeah, take two. I forgot to hit record in case anybody's wondering what we're talking about.
You're a little rusty.
Yeah.
He's a little rusty.
I don't even know how to operate all my equipment anymore. But, yeah, I'm back. Like we were just talking about, Devin asked why I kind of took a break.
Why did you take a break?
Yeah, why did I take a break?
Because the fans, they're saying, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
Where you at?
It was one of these things that I felt like the episodes were not going where I wanted to, and they started to merge together. And I told you right before I knew we weren't recording, but when I really knew that there was an issue is that I was having a conversation and somebody was talking and reached over, grabbed my phone, and just started checking messages and stuff. And I was like, and it occurred to me, it's like, what are you doing?
Do we want to slot any names who you were,
No, I don't remember, but... And that's one of the other things, too, that – and that's not a knock or
that's
anybody.
That's what we were saying before is it's not that guests are bad. It's just all the guests became one type
Correct.
Of person. All
yeah.
The personalities – it's like there's only so many – there's infinite amount of personalities, but the guests all became the same type of personality.
Yeah. And in the beginning, that was cool just because it was new. I was creating content, and I was also learning new things.
Yeah.
But it got to where, like you're saying, everybody was some type of entrepreneur.
Yeah, you're not Joe Rogan.
Exactly.
Maybe you could be one day, but you're not Joe Rogan. You don't have the opportunity to have boxers.
Exactly.
To have UFC fighters, to have Hollywood actors.
Right.
So you can only have so much personality.
Right.
And there's no knock on. They were probably great personalities.
They were. Yeah.
You can only have so many.
And that's what I knew, like, when I'm, like, because Joe Rogan, that's who I listen to, like, you know, 90% of the time, unless it's my boy Theo. But shout out Theo Vine. But
that's
anyway,
all I listen to now.
But anyway,
he's one of the funniest people.
I love him, but we'll talk to him about him later. But, yeah, so I kind of modeled the show after him just because I like how he'll have, like, MMA fighters, then he'll have an actor, then he'll have some type of scientist or whatever. And it keeps my mind, like, sparking.
Speaking of Joe Rogan. Well, actually, this doesn't have much to do with Joe Rogan, but I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and I look at fitness stuff, so obviously I get fitness ads. I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy. His name is Vince – what is his name? Shoot. Anyways, the ad always starts, do you hate cardio? Do you hate – or do you like to eat blah, blah? And basically, he's a fraud, and he goes in, and he started out – there's a guy named Athlene X. His name is his channel is Athlene X. His name is Jeff Cavalier, but he makes great fitness videos.
Yeah.
He shows you know what to do. He's one of the best. He actually worked with Hollywood actors. This guy went in. What is his name? Vince something. Anyways, I can't remember his name. I'll look it up. I could look it up. But he went in, copied all of his material.
Okay.
And so it's just like. Jeff Cavalier would make a video about, okay, this is how you deadlift. You do this. You have this form, you know, legs, whatever. Guy just went in the exact same. Every
copied
video.
It.
Copied everything. And then everybody realized, hey, they started putting it together. Everybody discovered he's a fraud, but he's still out ripping people off because I guess he's a good-looking guy, and he's getting money, and he pays for all these advertisements. And one of his newest ads, it starts out, do you hate cardio? It starts out, cardio burns fat. And he's like, wrong, blah, 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 something. It's all garbage.
It's like a YouTube ad that comes
up? Yeah, it's an ad. And then
I feel like this sounds familiar now.
Yes, he goes into to sell his product. But in one of his, as his ad goes on, he's... he's being interviewed by somebody in one of the little clips. It doesn't show who it is, but it's got a red curtain behind it. Do you know, like, when you see somebody with a red curtain behind them, that's Joe Rogan's podcast. So he set it up like he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, because anybody that sees that video is going to be like, hey, that's the Joe Rogan podcast. This guy knows what he's talking about. But he doesn't know any, like, he doesn't, you know, he's a fraud. And he also, like, he had just a clip of not Dr. Oz, one of those doctors that gives out all the thing, and he was talking about, you know, similar stuff to what he talks about, and he puts these people in his ads and takes little clips to make it look like these people are supporting him, but really they probably don't know.
They have no idea who he is.
They have no idea who he is.
Dude's putting a lot of work in. That's fine.
I can find the ad.
Yeah, dude's putting a lot of work in just to fake everything, yeah. But isn't that
anyways,
what
he used the Joe Rogan curtains to make it, like he was somebody.
Oh my gosh.
What is his name?
But isn't that the thing with content creation now, that we, like, one thing goes viral, then people will just create the exact same thing, but in, like, a small different way? Like, nothing is really original anymore. Like, they'll see one guy has an original video or a thought, and then everybody just runs with it, trying to go viral.
When it comes to working out, fitness, and any of that stuff, it gets to a point where you can't say much more about it, you know? Mm. But anyway, he was just straight ripping it off, you know, word for word. His name is V-Shred. So here's the V-Shred.
V-Shred.
V-Shred, that's what it was.
It's kind of like the Liver King.
Yeah, here it is, I think.
Put it up to the microphone, to the mic, so people can get it. What up? What up, V-Shred? Shout out.
Oh, man. Before I get mad at this. Yeah, okay. He's asking me questions.
You're fine. So is he still going, though? Like, he's still...
Yeah, people are still... they must be falling for it because he's still getting ads, so it means he's still making money somehow.
Inches. Well,
4'9".
I mean, he's got a plan. I mean, he's got to give some good advice. Yeah. Maybe he's helped out some people.
I don't think. No, because he goes on to, like, sell these pills or something, I think.
Like magic pills that'll get you shredded?
Yes, or, like, if you take this out of your diet and blah, 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 take my pill, basically.
Well, I mean, I feel like somebody... Well, actually, there's probably a lot of stupid people out there. And everyone wants a shortcut, and everyone wants to... Here we go.
Okay, that's not the video.
Skinny fit.
That's his voice. Lemme, that's not the video.
Is this V-Shred, though?
This is V-Shred. This is the fraud. Yeah, yeah.
Have people called him a fraud, like,
yes,
straight
there's
out?
Like, there's YouTube video. There's, like...
There's tons of people already out there going after him.
That they go after him.
Gotcha.
But that's, like, he's slick because he realizes there's still a whole bunch of people that don't know he's a fraud.
He's a con artist.
Yeah, that's what he is. Where are we at? Anyway, I can't find the video.
That's okay. Well, we know who he is.
I'm not a tech
people
guy.
Could look it up on his own.
Look up V-Shred.
On YouTube. And he'll come up. And
You'll find it.
And people make your own personal opinion about the guy. But apparently,
it's pretty clear he's a fraud.
Yeah, if he's trying to sell you magic pills to make you shredded in, what, like a week or something probably?
I don't know.
There's no telling.
Basically, he's trying to say that you don't have to run, that cardio is bad. You know, cardio doesn't make you lose weight. Obviously, it does.
I mean, this is a whole rabbit hole you can go down.
I mean, you could, you know, whatever. But I'm not a fitness guy. But I'm just saying, obviously, you know, a little exercise is going to make you lose weight.
Yeah, hey, you know, and that's
now is cardio as great as, you know,
what? Go ahead, yeah, yeah,
I mean,
do it all, baby. I do it all.
Yeah, all the stuff you do. I mean.
CrossFit?
CrossFit. That's the word I was looking for. CrossFit.
Yeah, man. Like, that's, like, my thing, dude. Like, you do it all. And that's, you know, and it's very,
like,
humbling.
I was having all the images of all the stuff. I was, like, imagining you doing the little
muscle-ups?
The muscle-ups. The little thing where it looks like they're flopping around.
Kipping pull-ups?
Yeah, but I couldn't put a word to it.
Okay.
CrossFit. That's
what
it is.
Yeah, man. That's my thing. That's my... I don't know.
I'm not a very wordy guy. I can see things, but the words, they're not there.
Hey, man, it's all good, man.
It's all right. I can write, but I just don't have the
Duke words. I can write. You been writing anything?
I'm trying to.
Music?
Writing,
or?
Yes. Trying to. So, I met some fellows that live about 4 or 5 miles from here.
Okay.
One of the guys, he's trying, or he's making a studio, and he's an excellent guitar player, mandolin player. He knows music. Anyway, he introduced me to some other people over there. They're all about music. And we've been playing together, and he's trying to, like, I've always just been, all right, I hear a song I like, and in that moment, hey, I want to go try to cover it.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically all, you know, that's all I know, because that song, you know, it hit a nerve, you know, it hit those little love strings, you know, it's playing
got,
a little.
Got in your loins,
whatever. She's like, okay, I want to go sing that. But anyways, he's been trying to teach me, you know, the basics, you know, how do you sit down and how do you actually get words on paper? How do you match those words to instrumentals? Just that's, you know.
Is it pretty tough?
Yeah, I mean, I guess anything is tough, you know, until you try it. I mean,
Hardy was on Theo Von, and he was kind of talking about writing a song and that. It takes like 3 or 4 people to sit around and just kind of come up with it.
Like him and another guy, we were just there. I'd never done it before. They were just showing me, okay, this is what we're doing. Let's just get some words down. It doesn't even have to sound good. And then we'll try to, you know, match it to some instrumentals and then start just blah, you know, and then eventually you got to get your, you know, I don't know.
It's like writing a paper, right?
You're starting with a very, very rough draft.
Like him and
like
what,
it couldn't even. It might. It's not even words at first. It's
right.
just you're
it's just
getting
an idea. Or
it's
something.
Ideas that turn to sound little caveman sounds, and then or maybe some. I'm sure a lot of people like Ed Sheeran or one of those guys. They can probably just they hear a beat and you know there a song comes out. They can already.
Yeah, it's like people who freestyle and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
They already got a feel for it, but that's the
way they've been doing it for.
That's the way we were doing
years
it,
and years and years, probably. But.
But like towards the end of it, I finally was like, "Hey, I'm starting to get this," and I was like able to add some of my own emotion. You know, just like
put Devin Dalton into it.
Putting Devin Dalton into it.
Yeah.
And.
Hemingway said, "All first drafts are shit."
Yeah,
you ever heard that? Yeah. So he's like, yeah, you write it down and you just keep editing it and playing with it until you get it to where
I come up with this quote myself. So I work at Woods Produce.
You know, shout out.
Shout out. and I come in one day and there was this little piece of paper up. Somebody had stuck it to a wall and they'd put some quote up there or they'd put some. It didn't look like a quote, or it didn't even look like wisdom to me. It just was, they wrote something up there. But it was something about when somebody with more experience than you tells you to do something, you should listen and do what they said. Something, basically it was like, you should always listen to people and do what they say or something. And
just because they're older?
Do it right. I don't know. That's the way I took it.
Okay.
So then... You know, everywhere in life, I'm very, I do say what's on my mind, and I just say what's true to me. So, people assumed, hey, Devin wrote that, blah, blah, you know, Devin's writing some wisdom, whatever, and they were trying to pin that, trying to pin that on me, and I was like, I wouldn't say something stupid like that. So, what I did, I went up there, and I put a little... another sticky note card up there, and first thing I did was I went through and corrected their grammar. It was terrible. No, I did not write that.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't go to Radford and was college educated, I still would write better than that.
Of course.
It was run on sentences. They misspelled several words. Anyways, not my writing, so I corrected it, and then I put up my own quote to kind of counter what they said. And I said, no, this is Devin's quote. And I put my name up there so anybody'd see, no, if I put something up there, I'm going to take ownership.
Sure.
So I put Devin's quote, and I said, what did I say? I said, life is a rough draft, and only when, what did I say? Life is a rough draft, something about when you die, only is the final draft written, something like that. But anyways, that was my quote. Life is a rough draft. And but only
when you die is the final draft?
Something like that. It was more poetic than that, but
I mean, it makes sense.
You get what I'm saying?
Because everything we do is like a first draft.
Just like, that's pretty much.
You just hope you did it right. Perfect.
You don't have to do it perfect. You don't have to do anything perfect the first time.
Yeah.
Just keep trying it. But whoever wrote the whoever first wrote there is just like, always listen to blah blah and do it right, and you'll learn throughout life by listening and doing. No.
But if you're listening to the wrong guy,
do it and make some mistakes, and then keep.
Well, that's how I learn. Trial and error, make mistakes.
Make some mistakes and. You'll get it.
But, I mean, yeah, because if you're learning from somebody who keeps making the mistakes and just maybe he's got 4 years of experience, but if he's doing it wrong, I don't want to learn from that guy.
Like, and that's what I've worked out there for 10, 11 years, and it's just like age and experience does not always equal competence.
No.
You're not the most competent person just because you've been there the longest.
No.
It doesn't work like that.
No.
What if you've been doing it wrong for 20 years?
Yeah, and that's one thing. Like, and people may have learned something 20 years ago, and they say stuck in a way, and it's not the most efficient and effective way of doing it. And you're like, what are you doing, bro?
Yes.
You know, it's like people who refuse to, like, you know, they still want to use a typewriter versus a computer. Like, this is the only way. This is the way. And it's like, no, man, computer will help you write this like 20 minutes faster, bro.
Yes.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that was not my quote. Not my quote. Make as many mistakes as you can.
But your first one is your quote, though.
Yes,
is it still up? Is it still up out there?
No, I took it down. I left it up there for a little bit just so people would see. If I do something, I'll take ownership for it. I'm not just going to put up something stupid.
Did anybody say anything about it? Give you shit over it?
There's really nobody out there anymore to give me shit. And just nobody gives me shit. I don't take shit. I ain't going to take it. I don't take it anymore.
Okay.
But... no, I don't even think the boss, I don't think they ever even...
They even care.
But...
Well, I mean, something like that, I could, you know, it's no harm, no foul. Like, yeah, you're just saying your own thing. It's not like you're putting up anything that's, you know, what's the word am I looking for? Offending anybody.
Yeah. But, like, I still don't know who put up the quote or who put up the original thing, but I know the type of person that would have. It's one of those people, there's lots of people I work with. They themselves are not very competent, but they like to tell the younger guys, you know,
how it's done,
how to do it, do it my way and blah, 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 you know, do it my way, because they're looking for that control that they themselves never have had because they're not very competent and they don't need to be telling anybody what to do because.
So they get on something and they think that they're the.
They think end they're all, an be expert. All. Yeah, they think they're the expert, but no, just because you've been there a long time or just because you're an older person doesn't mean you're competent.
You think it's just all they know? They just don't know how to get out of that, you know, because only seen it that way, right? And they don't, you know, like, I get a lot of my education from listening to podcasts and listening to other people, like, talk about their mistakes and what they've done wrong and stuff. And it's like, hey, man, there's other ways of doing shit.
It's stubbornness and, like, they don't want to change. They're stubborn. They don't want to change. And they're just looking to find somebody that they think is weaker than them and tell them how to do something. Because
it's like a higher alpha being, you know, like just because it's like a tribal instinct, right? I guess.
If you ever listen to Jordan Peterson, he talks about hierarchies.
Yes,
and
that's what I'm trying to get at.
Like, obviously, in life, there are hierarchies. Where you work, there's a boss.
Yeah.
Where I work, there's a boss. The boss, most of the time, should be the most competent person. It's probably not always like that. But when you have one of these people that's trying to tell, you know, one of these people that are obviously at the bottom of the hierarchy how to do something, mm-hmm. because they themselves... want to be up here, and if you can tell this guy that's down here, you know, how to do something, it makes them feel like they're up here, but really,
yeah,
they've been here 40 years and they're still at the bottom of the hierarchy.
Yeah, somebody else was talking about this, that basically if you and I and like 20 other people got stranded out on an island, somebody would automatically try to become the king and like tell everybody what to do and start laying out.
I mean, it's
like, why, who made you king, dude? Like, you don't know anything.
Exactly. It's like, you remember when we played Ark Survival Evolved? Yeah, we're both nerds.
Uh-huh.
We play video games, but the game, they just throw you on an island. And eventually people start forming tribes.
Yeah.
It's just the way it went, because you're building up, gathering stuff.
Right.
And when people have things, other people want to take it.
Yes.
Whether it's fairly or whatever.
Trying to join forces,
like,
or whatever.
You know, we were all savages.
Yeah.
And you had to join a tribe, and...
Yeah, for those who don't know what we're talking about, this, so they know that. Yeah. It's a survival game. It was in dinosaur ages. That's when it was taking place.
Actually, they never really
well,
said.
There's dinosaurs there, right?
They had futuristic stuff, too.
But that was later,
right? You could tame dinosaurs, but it never actually says, hey...
Okay, well, there's dinosaurs out there. Okay.
But
you start out like
there,
a loincloth, and you have to get... You got like a stick or something,
yeah.
And you have to start just building up
Cut
there
down
and like
some trees, dig some dirt up.
Yeah, and you start building a base, and hopefully, like you and I, and then I guess Tim and Coach and Matt, you just get all your boys and or whoever you want to come into your tribe, and you know, you just try to populate it, and make a civilization, and hope that nobody else comes and steal all your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the game, and it's kind of the fun of the game too, but it's not fun when everyone steals all your shit and you get left with nothing after putting that countless hours into it. But there's always somebody. Bossing somebody around, or little.
There's always a leader. There has a leader will emerge.
And there's always like somebody doing all the dirty work.
And whether it's like if you've watched Game of Thrones, which you know,
most of the world has.
You should. Yeah. You have the leaders that are just there. They're the leader, or you have the leaders like Jon Snow. They weren't. They didn't want to be the leader, but they're the best candidate for the job, and they just become the leader because. They're the most competent, or they're just the best, or they're the smartest, or the tough, whatever. But yeah.
Do you study leadership at all?
I watch.
Or just like what makes a good leader,
I
and
watch
like
YouTube videos.
Well, like that's what I mean. I'm not saying like you know you're sitting there writing books and stuff, but
I guess
mean
technically I was warehouse manager, but we don't really have titles up there. But obviously I know how to lead. Yes.
Yeah.
I've probably trained probably 50 plus people, you know, young kids. It's hard. You can't really, if somebody's older than me, you can't really, older people don't want to be trained by somebody younger than them. Mm-hmm. But yes, I know about leadership.
Yeah. There's this, you know, there's all types of leadership. And I was just wondering like maybe what, like one that you think that you kind of see more of your abilities in.
I mean, just from me as my own experience, like the best leaders are the ones that get out there and
it's like servant.
Well, they lead by example.
Yeah, that's servant.
I know in most like not all fields can the leader lead by example because you know he's doing this or he's like up in an office blah blah. But the best leaders lead by example. So one thing that I see that most people do wrong that there's a lot of people that want to be leaders. They want to be managers. And the one thing they do wrong, or the most common thing they do wrong, is they tell people to do stuff, do jobs, do things that they wouldn't do themselves. If you ever do that, nobody will ever respect you. They will never listen to you. They will never follow you. You can, if you're leading people, you can never tell somebody to do something that you wouldn't do.
Correct.
That's even like,
I agree.
That's even if it's janitorial work. You can't tell somebody to do something you wouldn't do.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but you will never have
the respect.
The respect from what would you call them? Subordinates or not?
Yeah, just
whatever they are.
Yeah,
the
just the workers.
From the people that you're leading.
Right.
You will never have the respect.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like I've never been in the military, but if you were in the military, the leader. He's always going to be leading the charge, and he's not going to tell any guy to, like, hey, man, carry my jock strap. You know? He's not going to do that.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell somebody to do something that he wouldn't do. He wouldn't say, hey, you go over there and fight the toughest guy that they have.
Right.
No, the leader, he's going to say, nope, I want the toughest guy.
Yeah. Well, that's like
one
of the.
I don't know if that's how it works. I don't know. I don't know anything about the military, but I'm just saying you can't tell somebody to do something that you wouldn't.
No, I agree with that. But that's like a lot of what the entertainment and like other people, you kind of portray, like with kings and stuff, they're like, hey, go fight my fight for me while I sit here and sip on cheap wine.
That's why you've seen all those old medieval movies, like the king that's actually out there on the battlefield. That's the best leaders, because he's actually, like, he's not telling somebody to go do something he wouldn't do.
No.
They know, oh, my king, he's a fighter, too.
Yeah, he's here fighting right alongside me, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And I think they call that servant leadership, and that's what I've always, I guess, idolized or respected, just
that's
down here getting dirty with
leadership
me.
Leadership and encourage people. Always, just be encouraging.
Yeah. Do you think people need that, like, just people want to be told what to do, though? Like, have a dictatorship? Just people just – they don't know how to think outside the box?
Okay, some people like to be told what to do because they don't – they just don't want to think. Like,
yeah.
They like – there are some people that are just made for that – I'll call it the wingman role. You know, they're made for – they don't want to lead. They just – they want to be a wingman.
Go in there, do their thing, and
they
go home.
Or they want to be a – like, if it's basketball or – basketball terms, they're just role players.
Right.
There's some people they don't want to lead, and they like. Even me, like, I guess I'm an okay leader. You know, I have led before, and there are times when, or actually all the time, I want to be told what to do. That way, I want that communication to know, okay, this is what we're doing.
No.
You know. I don't necessarily like being told what, you know. I don't like being told.
You do, but you don't.
Yeah, I do, but I don't. I want to be.
It depends on who's telling
you
what to do, right?
What we're doing. I want to know what we're doing, but, you know, I still like, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, I don't want, like, kind of what we're just going back to what you were just saying. Like, this some guy said he's got 18 years of experience and he's trying to tell you what to do. And it's well, dude, you don't, this is completely wrong. But, you know, somebody who's been proven, knows the job, you know, that you respect very well. And if he's telling you, like, hey, this is what we need to do to get to point A to point B to point C, then. Oh yeah, okay. This guy, this is the guy right here. I got you, man.
Yes.
We'll go to the gates of hell and fight, bro. I don't care.
Well, it's like where I work. We don't really have job titles. We all just work for the boss. But some kid asked me the other day. He's like, "So are you like the what did he say?
The boss?
Are you like the manager out here?" And he's like, "Nah, man. I just work here." But he was asking me that because I'm helpful. I try to be helpful. I try to, if there's people that don't know what's going on, like I just try to, you know, this is what needs to be done. And am I doing that because I'm a really, really nice guy? Maybe. But also, I'm doing it because I know that if the more competent people we have, the more competence that I spread, the easier the job is for me.
Yes.
Because you have competent people surrounding
you. Yeah,
and
you get
that's the goal.
Increases workflow.
Yes,
like everyone's doing their thing and knows what to do.
Exactly.
And productivity's out the wazoo. And people are just not standing around eating grapes.
Yes.
I guess they do that. I don't know.
Eat grapes and stealing watermelons.
Yeah, they're back there just hiding. Like I ain't loading this truck. I'm unloading this truck. Yeah.
I mean that's the way that's the way I like to work. You know, you work hard, and then you stand around.
Yeah,
get the job done and then stand around.
That's it, man.
I mean,
yeah, do your work, and then if you got free time, we can play now.
It's
play
time, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's good that he's looking up to you like that and like kind of getting that fulfillment. Like, oh, okay. Like, you're talking about leading by example. And it's like, hey, man, let's just knock out this whatever hour of work, and then we'll sit around for whatever. And I don't know, whatever y'all do out there. Party on.
We just eat grapes and steal hot dogs.
Just eat grapes and steal hot dogs. At least y'all eating good, man. He's just eating trash.
Pretty healthy out there.
Huh. So what else are you doing for self-improvement? Besides learning, like, writing, trying to lead more people?
Is it getting dark? Do we need a light?
Well, that's
probably
what I was going to say. Do we need to check and make sure?
Go ahead and just at least get something going on. We might take a few minutes right here, people. We'll get some more light in here, making sure those who are watching the YouTube video are doing pretty good. Can see us, our beautiful faces, and see old June's kitchen right here. I can cut this part out. Is it still recording?
I think it looks good.
Okay. If you think it looks good. As long as you can still see us, and keep it going, baby. we're back.
All right, we're back.
So, yeah, other things you're doing to self-improve?
So, life can be tough sometimes.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
100%.
Life is, like Jordan Peterson says, life is suffering. Well, actually, he probably didn't say that, but it's more like a Buddhist thing or something like that. But life is full of suffering. But, anxiety is something that I struggle with. It's something I've always struggled with.
Is this all types of anxiety? Or is it more?
All right, for me.
Just so the people know.
Yeah. I can go back to day one, the moment I discovered anxiety.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, you have different, or actually I could go way back to the start of time. Anxiety would be the guy that sees a lion and he's running from it. That's anxiety.
Okay.
That's,
I agree.
Or it's anxiety, I guess anxiety turns into fear. I don't really know how it works. I don't know if it's on a spectrum, whatever, but anxiety, fear, is it the same thing? I don't know. But anyways, that is anxiety. You see a threat and your brain starts doing stuff, starts producing thoughts. Thoughts of, oh, danger, you know, run. So there, you have guy running from lion, running from bear, whatever. That's anxiety, you know. His fight or flight reflex is going. He's in danger, so he's scared, right?
Yeah.
So you also have claustrophobia,
being in closed places,
heights,
yeah.
You know, there's all different types of fears. Fear of heights. Some people are randomly afraid of clowns, you know, whatever. Like, I don't understand any of that stuff. Or, like, some people are just randomly afraid of being buried alive in a coffin or, mm-hmm. I don't know, just like the thought of it, something. But there's different types of fears, phobias, whatever you want to call them. For me, social anxiety, that's been my go-to, you know, that's my thing.
Yeah.
So, social anxiety, I really, you know, when you're a kid, you just live, you live life. And that's what I'll get to later. That's the key to anxiety, is just you live your life. That's the ultimate weapon against anxiety, is just living life. But anyways, when you're a kid, you're pretty much, you're free from the anxiety that adults experience. I mean, you'll get face it on small scale, like you'll be playing with your brothers and sisters and like you're about to get in a fight and you get a little bit of anxiety that, oh no, I'm about to get hit or whatever. You get small scale anxiety as a kid, but you don't experience the anxiety that an adult would, the same types of anxiety.
It's a different scale?
It's a whole lot different scale, because when you become an adult, you got a whole lot more to deal with. You got a whole lot more to worry about.
Yeah.
You got a whole lot
more responsibilities.
You got more threats. Like, your brain is, like when you're a kid, it's like, oh, you know, I need to eat, sleep,
and play.
Piss and shit, and whatever, and play.
Yeah.
And in between there's little bits of, oh no, what am I going to eat? Mom ain't making, you know, macaroni and cheese for supper.
Right.
And you get, oh no, I'm whatever. You got little bits of things that you worry about, but mostly you can just live your life. That's why people, like, the innocence of a child is like, people just, they like to see kids playing, because it's just like, man, that's just, it's so nice.
Like a carefree kind of.
Yeah, carefree. It's just like you just want to, you know, man, that's, it's so nice that there's people that.
People
just,
are wanting that.
Yes. Like, they're just, get to live their life, you know, they get to live their life. But anyway, when you become, or when I became like a teenager, life doesn't necessarily get harder. But your brain, my brain, perceived more threats, all right? For me, the threats were...
They're trying to protect you?
J- What's that?
Like trying to protect you, kind of? Like it's a threat? Yes, like, yeah.
It's a
survival
defense,
kind of thing?
Mechanism.
Okay.
So that's where the social anxiety comes in. For me, I get older, and your brain starts recognizing more threats, like I said, those threats being other people. Like, that's where people start becoming self-conscious, you know? Like, when you're a kid, you're not really self-conscious. You don't care.
Right.
You're a kid. But when you get older, and especially now, let's throw in, you know, back in the day, it's like, oh, I got to impress 7 people in my 8th grade class. Now, like, I have lots of empathy for 8th to 8th grade girls all the way up to whenever, to 25, however old, because you now, you're in the social media realm.
Sure.
And there's threats everywhere, because every day you have to, people might feel that they have to be a certain way, look a certain way, act a certain way, and that's where I'm sure all these young people are are experiencing so much social anxiety. Every day it's a competition to
be your best, or
be
make sure everyone loves you.
Be better than everybody else. Or people might have this thought that I have to be not necessarily the best, but I don't want to be down here, because then the group, the tribe, whatever you want to call it, they're going to kick me out of it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to be shunned. Does anybody want to be shunned?
Never.
And that's what people start feeling in their heads, all this social anxiety. I got off track. I was talking about myself, but now I'm talking about everybody. I'm just talking about in general. But that's what they start feeling. There's all these threats out here, and now it's all a big competition, you know, who is the best.
Who can get the most likes.
Who can get the most likes, the most comments. The
followers,
most
all
clout,
that shit.
The clout, what's the new word? What's that? Riz? Who's got the most riz?
Riz. Rizinator.
You heard that?
Throwing out riz to the ladies.
My nephews are all about that riz. Like, we even come up with...
I thought that was more about trying to get ladies.
Whatever.
Okay.
But, like, even guys, you know, they're probably not taking it as seriously, but there's... I don't know. I can't say that there's any... I'm sure girls and guys experience the same social anxiety, but I'm sure it's different. But anyways... You know, if you're a guy, you probably feel like, hey, I got to go out and have this many girls, or I'm not going to be accepted by the group.
Yeah.
I got to get this Riz score. Is that what they're calling it? Get Riz
sure.
Score.
I don't know.
But
I've heard the Riz, though. But I don't know if it's a score. But like,
I don't know,
but I thought it's kind of like the swag or
whatever.
You throw out the Riz and you get the ladies.
That all goes back to people's... there's social anxiety people have because they want to impress everybody else, because they don't want to be kicked out of the group. They don't want to be the loser, you know.
Nobody wants to be. I get it.
And to me, the losers are a lot cooler than the other people, because at least...
Like people who see the world differently
and I don't have
to be accepted by society.
Well, I'm not saying losing's not cool. I mean, obviously, try to excel and be a winner.
Right.
But... The people that the groups nowadays consider the losers, they're probably a lot more genuine and, you know, original than the people that are acting like the group. You know, they're just the group.
Kind of like back in our day, like the high school jock who dated like the prom queen and all that, but like, you know, the stereotypical quote unquote nerd, like, you know, loser guy, like, nobody wanted to be that guy. But high school for us, everybody wanted to be the captain or captain of the football team, all the cool guy walking around, party guy. But yeah, then like the nerds come out of nowhere and shine after they get out of like, hey, I don't care. I don't care. I was not accepted because I like Star Wars and building Legos and playing video games, you know. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, hey, I'm fine. Like, I'm cool. Like, I've excelled at life But like, now it's completely different, because – if you're on social media, like, everything is seen 24/7.
Yes.
And like, one little small thing, one little wrong sentence can like almost interrupt or yes. kill you right now. Like, you know, not we don't have to go down this side road, but like our boy Theo is almost, it seems like they're trying to get him canceled with that Roseanne interview.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, and like she was Jewish and whatever she was talking about, I can't remember word for
it's
word.
It's like, wait, is it something he said or something she said?
Something she said.
It's like he didn't even say it.
Yeah.
So what does it matter?
But and like, and Roseanne was not, it wasn't, in my point of view, not that negative. And it was, plus, where she is Jewish, I was like, well, she has a right to say that, I feel like. So anyway, but anyway, yes. I don't mean to go off side tangent there. But anyway, that's my point. Theo, I got your back, bro.
I love you, Theo. He's the only person that needs to have a mullet right now. Him and Morgan Wallen.
Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. Wayland. But that's what I'm trying to say is there are so many people that feel like now the thing is mullets. You got to grow that mullet out, and you got to be this certain thing, or you won't be accepted by the group.
Right.
I mean, you know, like back in my day, it was I got to wear camouflage, camo, and
that was cool.
The whatever that was the thing, or I won't be accepted by the group.
Right.
Or if you were one of the preppy people, you wore the. That's when the cargo shorts started becoming not cool,
yep.
which I continued to wear because I didn't care. You know?
Dude's got a lot of cargo. He's got a haul.
I love them cargo shorts. But you became one of the preppy people when you wore the polos and whatever.
Yeah.
And you had to fit that image or, you know, you might get shunned from the group.
Is that part of just growing up, though, because you don't really know who you are? You just kind of think that, you know who you are just because of what people want you to be. And then once you finally get shunned from the group, you finally kind of figure out. Like a lot of people like on my podcast I've been talking to, like they've done these journeys where they go by themselves and mm-hmm. this experience life by themselves. Like whether it's just traveling through random countries, just, hey, I want to go road trip across America by myself. And they finally start to like, hey, I like this. I don't like this. Hey, this is me right now.
Yeah.
You know, like I know who I am.
Yeah.
Like Matthew McConaughey talks about that and Green Lights a little bit, like where he went out to a desert and wrote that book and mm-hmm. you know decided like, hey, this is it's fucking
really
great
good.
Book that dude
he built a tree that was I forgot about that, but like he just randomly went out and like built a tree house like four stories up in a tree on somebody else's property and like I think he stole some wood.
Yeah, there's someone
just like, you know, screw him being a Hollywood actor. Like, that's pretty cool.
That
he
dude
just went out and built a tree.
He's
house.
Got some thoughts, man.
Yeah.
And he does it right. And, like, yeah, you know, he's made it really well in life and done well. But he's, you know, when I first remember, this is, I don't even have to go down this road either about Matthew McConaughey. But what I'm trying to say is he got, like, I listened to him on some podcasts and stuff, and he's got well articulated thoughts. He's just not some guy out there just trying to be, you know, all right, and then being a good looking guy in the movie. He's just,
yeah.
Like, he's an intellectual. And
he is.
Yeah. And, like, you know, he's learned – he's got a very interesting life, and he talks about it openly, and he's learned lessons from it, kind of like what you're talking about, his
yeah.
life of rough draft. And he's – like, now he's gotten to the point – I don't know how old he is, but he's actually – what am I trying to say? He's actually outspeaking his words of wisdom to everybody. And it's like – and I relate to him a lot.
No, I really enjoyed that.
But that's not the good take away from the anxiety thing, but and again, like in, you know, in, you know, I don't know if we want to go down like a whole mental health or anxiety
we can
road,
go
but
wherever you want.
Okay, you know
that's
Tom.
That's what I like talking about. Anxiety.
Okay, you know Tom Holland.
I do know Tom.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
For those who don't, new Spider-Man. He was on a recent podcast, and I didn't know about him. This guy, I just thought he was some cool English dude who's dating what's his girl Zendaya.
Zendaya.
I don't know.
Is that how you say it?
No, Zendaya. Yeah. Anyway, the hot one.
Yeah, the hot one.
Everyone will know like who she is. She's like the only girl I know with that name. But anyway, he said he suffered from social anxiety.
Yeah.
And he
I mean, everybody does to an extent.
Right. But he made it so like it was bad though.
Yes.
Like, and he almost became an alcoholic or was an alcoholic at one point. And I was like, really? I never expected that. And then like he actually went into this whole podcast about how like he stopped drinking. And that's like he finally figured out that, hey, I didn't need drinks to help me, you know, become part of this whatever when I go to social gatherings or whatever. I was like, wow. And like, and actually, and then he got to one part of the podcast where he said something along those lines about having social anxiety, and some news group or reporter took it to a whole new level. Like, oh no, Tom Holland's got mental health issues. And like, he was like, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. You know, he's just, I was trying to, you know, speak openly about it. And,
yeah.
and go from there. And I was like, wow. And it's like you said that. And now once you hear stuff like that, like, oh, man, Spider-Man's got issues. Like, it's like, I'm not the only one.
Well, that, okay, and that's cool. That's what you see is everybody's got it.
Some form of it.
But when it really becomes a problem, and that's what I was going to lead into my own life, is when you run from it. When you
don't face it? Like you
when
just...
When you avoid stuff, when you start avoiding, when you start avoiding what it is you're afraid of.
Okay.
So, for me, I started to realize, hey, you know, I'm not a kid anymore, and the world's very judgmental. They're, you know, and most people, they just go on.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Joining whatever. They joined this clique. For me, I just kind of just went into my shell. It was like...
That was your survival instinct?
That was my defense mechanism because, like, you know... I really just like being myself, but I feel like I can't be myself because
the way people would make you feel.
And like I said, the world's not as bad as I'm making out to be. I'm just.
The world can be.
I mean, it can be. It can be brutal.
But like
yes.
In your experience, it's
saying,
not as bad.
I made it worse than what it
than
was.
Than what it was.
Yes.
I get that.
Yes.
I go down those roads.
Like I saw it. Like, hey, all these people were, you know, maybe you know they're joining these groups and cliques and like. They don't want to talk to me. Maybe they thought, hey, he's doesn't ever talk. He doesn't want to talk to us, you know. I never talked, period. I just went through high school and, you know, basically just was quiet the entire time because I was so afraid of what...
Doing a wrong thing or saying
the wrong
thing.
Or I was afraid of being myself. I was afraid that if they saw Devin Dalton, they wouldn't like him, and they would reject him. And I couldn't be somebody else. I couldn't be, you know, one of the rednecks or one of the preps or whatever you want to call it, because it wasn't who I was. I'm just Devin Dalton. And instead of just being Devin Dalton and not giving a, you know, a fuck, I just was nobody, I guess. I just did nothing. You know, I did not live my life like... You know, I avoided things. I quit sports. I quit life, basically. That's social anxiety.
Damn.
But I'm living life now.
So, after high school, is that when you decided, like, hey, I want to start living my life? Or was it... Because I've known you for years.
And like
I mean,
said,
I've known
like
you even
like I said, I'm
early
just,
college
I, okay.
And everything.
Let me say, I quit my social life. That's what I'll say. I quit my social life.
Well, you quit trying
yes,
to be social.
Yes, basically. I still, like, you know, I played basketball by myself.
Yeah.
Or with people.
Or with
was,
us.
People
I remember
I was
playing ball.
With, or I hung out with the older people. And that's another thing. I've always got along with older people better anyway.
I agree with that.
But,
I'm the same way.
Yeah. Or I played video games. Or, you know, I just did the things that I was comfortable doing, but I avoided any social situation because at the root of it, I was just afraid that nobody would accept me, which then they might not have, you know, that's because like we were just talking, young people are brutal.
Yeah.
You know, they are pretty brutal. So it's like, I'll tell one story. So when I, you know, we're both from Metazidan.
Sweet home. Metazidan, yeah, baby.
We're both from Metazidan.
Shout
and
out.
My class, my seventh grade class, I think had 11 people. four boys. What's the matter? Six girls? Seven?
Had seven people? Girls. Four boys, three girls? Or 11?
No, no, no. I'm
seven four, girls, four boys?
No, four and seven.
That's four and seven is 11.
Four and seven, yeah. Sorry, my math. I'm actually pretty good at math. But I was looking at the I was trying to look at the faces, and I was trying to count the faces and like how right. It was something like 11 people.
He can do four and seven yes. together.
Four
y'all.
And seven. Four plus seven is 12, right? Okay, anyways, we had a very the point of this is we had a very small class.
Sure.
So then you go down to the high school. There's like 250 faces. 200 faces. I don't know any of them. The chances of me having a class with somebody I know is like zero.
Sure.
So, it's a whole new world. Met as a Dan, you know, small group. It's easy to feel comfortable. You have that control of your environment because it's like you've been around them for 8 years.
Right.
And you know everybody, you know. This is a whole new ball game down there, you know. So, for me.
I can relate.
I go down there, and that anxiety, it's picking up. Like, my first day of eighth grade, one of the worst days of my life, you know. First day of eighth grade, second semester, probably the second worst. You know, anyways, it's just bad. Going down there is like all the thoughts I'm having is just like, I don't know anybody. Where do I sit at lunch? You know.
Yeah, it's a whole new world. It's a whole new routine.
Like, where do I go?
Yeah, everything you do that day is new.
I don't know any of these people. Will they like me? Anyway. It's just a whole new world of social anxiety. That's when social anxiety, like, I'd been worried about high school. And like I said, I'm, you know, probably not everybody's like me. But that's what I experienced. So I'd been worried about high school for probably the year leading up to it. And there, I'm finally there. And I remember it's like the first day of lunch. I go, and like, man, that's a big cafeteria. Where do I sit?
Yeah.
Who do I sit with? Do I see any familiar faces? Could I just walk up to a random stranger and sit down beside them? I don't know. I've never done it before. And nobody really ever does. I mean, kids don't normally do that. They find somebody. Like, nowadays, I know all the kids are, like, texting, like, hey, I need to get this class changed because blah, blah's in third block and I need to have somebody.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, you know.
Yeah, we didn't have that.
Yeah, we didn't have that. So I go in there and I don't see any familiar faces. Then I see a few people. I played AAU basketball. You know, I used to play basketball, but then the social anxiety kicked in and I quit life, like I said. I see a few people that, you know, hey, I played with them, you know, played ball with them. So then I go sit down and, you know, I could already see that, hey, they kind of have a group here. They all know each other. But I know a few of them, but most of them don't know me except for the few people. But, like, I'm not actually in this. This is their group, you know. So I remember sitting down and, you know, I don't remember what they were talking about. It was 20 years ago. Wow.
Yeah, when we start thinking about shit 18, like that.
18 years ago.
We start thinking about that? Yeah.
Anyways.
It's like, damn, we old, bro.
So I don't know any of these people. I mean, I know, you know, the ones I play basketball with. I'm not going to give any names, but I should give a name because, honestly, I want to call this person out, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
But I always remember this, and, you know, I sat down because it was the only familiar faces I saw, and I sat down and, you know, I didn't say anything for 30 minutes, or I might have said I might have tried to say something. I don't just to add to the
sitting down at the lunch table
with these people. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to say. I'm in eighth grade. I don't know anything. You know, I don't know y'all, and I don't know what y'all are talking about. So I have nothing to say. I'm not just gonna, you know, whatever. And I think they started talking about like houses or something, like their houses or something. And this is the Stewart people. So for anybody that doesn't know, the Stewart people, they're the ones, most of them probably have a little more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm from Medizidan, so I didn't, you know, we're not poor. You know, like, my parents did fine, but we're not.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I know. Well, for those who don't, though, like, it was kind of one of those things that Medizidan is a community, But then right where Stewart, where our high school was kind of more of the uptown area. Oh, okay.
You want one?
Sure. And we'll be right back, folks.
All right, let me tell you something I've been using here lately. Been using Magic Mind, and I know it's become a game changer for me. So basically, I felt like I was struggling with focus, struggling with energy, and just trying to get that perfect balance all throughout my day. So, you know, lately I've been thinking like, oh man, you know, I got this mental fog, and it's been holding me back, and I just couldn't get quite right. So, you know, I would resort to, you know, crushing a Red Bull or a Monster energy drink just to see if I could get back to where I was like 100% focused and felt like I could still do my work day, go do my workouts, and just keep crushing life. But I'm a coffee guy. We all know that. And I thought coffee just wasn't providing the sustained energy I needed anymore. I wanted to be 100% focused, and I think it's rare, especially in today's age, to find that 100% focused energy. So that's where Magic Mind came in. I've been drinking it for about a week now. I love it. It's easy. I can take it anywhere. It's small bottles of this little shot. And I usually take it right with my coffee in the morning. Right along with my first cup for the day. It sets me up, gets me going. I already have a win for the day. Made it part of my routine so far this past week. And it's super easy to do. It's not hard. But I've just noticed this a couple of days when incorporating Magic Mind into my routine, I noticed some benefits. I mean, I have the mental energy. I have the focus I need to tackle off my task. And I also feel like it's improved my overall mood and even reduced a little anxiety. And I've never been an anxiety guy, but I feel like what little anxiety I have, it's gone. It's relieved. So it's just a natural stress reliever, and it supports brain functions, which I love. And I know what you're thinking. Some of you are like, oh, it's just a big caffeine shot. Well, it's not. It's not heavy on caffeine at all. I think it's 55 milligrams, and it did not disrupt my sleep at all. Also, for all you people who are on certain diets and, you know, oh, is it going to work for me or whatever, it's sugar-free. It's nut-free. It's vegan, keto, and paleo-friendly. It's got matcha. You know, it's like an extended-release caffeine. It's got ashwagandha, an ancient adaptogen that reduces stress and anxiety. I mean, it's just awesome. You know, it's got herbal breakthroughs that enhance mental clarity and endurance. It's got lion's mane, cordyceps, mushrooms, these nootropics, and the adaptogens that reduce inflammation, support cognition, and boost physical endurance. It's a powerhouse. That's all I got to say. It's just a powerhouse to keep you at your best. Now, you might be wondering, well, how do I get it? What do I do? Well, I got some exciting news for you. I've secured an exclusive discount for all you listeners out there. Just head over to magicmind.com/Sheeler20 and you can get up to 56% off your subscription for the next 10 days using my code Sheeler20. Whether you're already a subscriber or looking to try it out, this deal is too good to pass up. It's worth trying out, people, if you're having trouble focusing like I was. I would recommend this to friends, to family members. You know, people like my dude Joe Rogan's taking it, Theo Von's taking it. And also, they're just keep talking about it. Magic Mind stands by its 100% money-back guarantee. If you don't love it, they'll refund your purchase within 3 to 4 hours. That's how confident they are in their product. So, if you're struggling to find that focus, energy, and place like I was, truly encourage you to give Magic Mind a shot. It's not just about staying awake. It's about thriving and performing at your best. Again, visit magicmind.com/Sheeler20. Use the code Sheeler20 to get up 56% off. Or 20% off a one-time purchase. All right.
Experience. Anyway, they're talking about their houses. Something about how, you know, whatever. They had nice houses or something. Something like that. And I'm already starting to feel the groups being made. You know, they're part of the wealthy. You know, I'm just feeling like an outsider, but I did chime in but it was more the only thing I said for this entire 30-minute, you know, session of lunch was, hey, you know, I was trying to defend Metazodan. I was trying to defend my hometown. It was like, hey, I have a nice house. I have a nice house, you know, something like that, which, you know, it's not terrible. But anyways, I was just trying to say, hey, you know,
We're not idiots up here.
We're not all idiots up here. You know, so the pretty much the only thing I said that entire 30-minute lunch was, you know, hey, you know, we're not all shit up here, you know.
Which spoke up.
Which I should have said. That's admirable, though. I should have said, no, y'all are all a bunch of, you know, pricks, stuck-up pricks. But, you know, anyways, then, like, near the end of the lunch, I still remember this. This one kid that I played basketball with, he said something. He commented on how I didn't say anything. Like, he commented on the fact that I was just quiet and didn't say anything the entire lunch. You know, just like pointing out the fact that, you know, I had nothing to say. So then, like, from that moment on, I just felt like, so I'm supposed to always have, you know, words coming out of me, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, he pointed out
the only thing he could focus on was you didn't say
that
anything.
I didn't say anything. So then,
but you did.
Well, I said that one thing.
But so
I mean,
you
he,
said
he
something.
Was right, he was right, though. I didn't say anything because I didn't have anything to say. And that's okay. Sometimes.
What's the thing? Like, yeah, yeah. So, some of the people
yes.
that I know and hang out with, and even on the podcast, too, they talk just because they like to talk. And which
yes,
people
yes.
have that. Which
And that's what these kids were doing. They were just talking to talk.
And but, like, sometimes, like, for me, it's just I don't do well in big groups.
I don't either.
Okay. Like, when like six people, like, I've noticed with myself that I do okay with, and, like, I can kind of give everybody attention. And
yeah, yeah.
But, like, when it gets more than that, like, there's always one person who just wants to start fucking talking.
I'm going to get a light on.
Okay, that's fine. And there's always one person. No, we're not. Yeah, so we still got out of here.
It don't even matter. So.
Well, if you want a light, though, so we can see each other. But there's always one person who wants to keep talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, I immediately, like, hey, man, you don't have to talk. You can, like, whatever you're talking about right now is stupid anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we can just chill. Like, we can, you can let her talk. You can let,
and that's what's like, it's so nice when you can find a person that you can just enjoy the silence with.
Yeah, silence is okay.
It's great. It's great.
Like, we can sit here and just be cool. Like,
yes.
And silence makes people uneasy, I think.
Yes. But anyway, from that moment on, well, and moments before, I just thought, hey, there's something wrong with me because I don't always have words to say or I can't. So it's just like from then on, I'm like in my head all the time, like trying to think of things to say rather than just saying things to people.
Yeah.
So I just like from then, you know, from those moments on, I would just be stuck in my head all the time when I'm out in public. Like, what do I say to this person? How do I start a conversation? How do I blah, 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 blah. All back to these early moments of people telling me that, you know, you need to be talking right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was another instance, like, in seventh grade when this was, like, when me and the boys, you know, this, I guess you're going to know who they are because only four people in my class. But anyways, and, like, this isn't anything bad because I'll tell this person this, but it's just, like, we're just there talking, and then we stop talking, which is fine. We're eating lunch. It's just four of us. We stop talking. And then Marcus, you know, best friend Marcus, you know, Marcus Wood, he says, shout out, Marcus. You started my social anxiety. No, you didn't really. You didn't really. But he says, there's that awkward silence again. He's just pointing out the fact that, you know, it's whatever. There's silence. He might have thought it was awkward, whatever. But
it was awkward
but
for him?
Maybe it was, I don't know. Maybe he just said, there's that awkward silence again. And in that before that moment, I'd never, like, silence was always, you know, you talk, you have words, and then there's no words. It was never awkward for me. But then, like, after him pointing that out, which I'm not blaming him. It was, you know, it goes back to me. But from that moment on, I was just thinking that, hey, awkward silences are bad. People need to always be formulating conversations in their head and thinking of the next talk. You know what I'm saying? Does that?
I so do. Then, yes. I do. Because
so those two moments were big for me. There were, I'm sure there were plenty more, but it's just like, so from a young age on, I just like, instead of just talking to people, I was always just in my head thinking of what do I talk about rather than just talking. Saying, hey, man, how's it going? What do you like to do? Where are you from? You know.
Well, that's one thing I've learned with podcasting, though, that people feel like they have to talk if there's silence or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But
if you start rambling on again about something that has nothing to do with the conversation or whatever, just because you want to talk because you were scared of the silence, I mean, like, that's okay, but it's not okay at the same time. Because, like, hey, man, like, you don't – I'd rather you just say, hey, let me reflect on this for a second. Yeah, yeah. Let me get my thoughts out, yeah, and then I'll say something.
Yeah.
You know, and I know on a podcast it might be different because you actually have to be like, oh, you know, like you're saying, oh, we got dead air. We got to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, I'd rather you just say, hey, give me a minute.
It's like, this out, yeah, like for me, I'm 31 years old and I still, there's this fear inside of me. Like it comes back every now and then. And I'm just like, oh no, what if there's an awkward silence? You know, like what if, like on this podcast, it's like, oh no, I'm on here. And what if we run out of things to talk about? We're just sitting here staring at each other for 3 minutes. You know, that's still every now and then that flares back up, you know, in my brain.
No, and that used to, in the beginning when I did the podcast, like, what if we just fucking run out of things to talk about? And, like, that was always haunting in my head. Like, even you said it before we started tonight. And I pride myself on this, and maybe I shouldn't or should not, but for people who have reviewed the podcast and who've been on the podcast, they say, hey, you know how to carry on the conversation and stuff. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, like, but it's just me, like, you were talking about doing your first draft with writing and stuff. Yeah, yeah. Like, I just have gotten to where, like, okay, I'm listening, I'm reflecting, and, like, okay, I'm transitioning to something else. Like, it's just, you put in your work, and you just, like, okay, you're just talking with somebody. And plus, it's easier, too, with somebody. Like, I don't know how many years you and I have known each other, but it's just, like, we have stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. We haven't even went down any roads. Like,
or it's like, when this dialogue ends, whatever we're talking about right now, there's going to be a moment where it stops.
Yeah.
And then you're going to ask a new question, or I'm going to ask a new question.
Somebody will say.
You're going to make a new statement. I'm going to make a new statement. And it's going to continue.
Yeah, it keeps continuing. And that's one thing that, you know, and I'm not saying I'm the best conversationist there ever was. I'm no Joe Rogan. I'm no Theo Von. I'm no Bill Burr.
I've had more deeper conversations with you than a lot of other people.
I agree. Because I've done the same thing with you. Yes. And and it's one that we do this. And this is something I used to ask people, too, that doing them via Zoom is great and all, but when you and I do them in person.
That's why I like when I did it with you and John the two times.
Yeah,
before.
Like we feed off each other.
Well, like when we did it through the Zoom, it's just like, it was okay, but.
That's just
from
what I was telling you. Like, I was going
to
grab my phone.
This is where I wanted to be because, like, I want to be having a real.
You're more in tune with the person. Like, exactly. We're just chilling. We're hanging out. We're relaxed.
This all started when me and you were driving down the road and we talked about, hey, podcast.
Yeah. Also, for those who don't know, like when Devin and I went to Charlotte and rode together numerous times, we were always talking about new things to do, like video game, YouTube, streaming.
And you talk about podcasts and whatever, and you actually did it.
I like podcasts, man. Like that was like, you know, not to bring up Joe again, but like that was like one of the first podcasts I ever listened to, and that was like when I first got my pair of AirPods, and I was at work, and I was like, I'm gonna do a podcast here, and like it was him and Kevin Hart, and like Kevin Hart, like the way he was talking and being so inspirational, and like it's like, is this real? Is this the real Kevin Hart not trying to be funny and say stupid jokes? And you know, I was like, oh, this guy's real. You know, he's actually talking about his hardships growing up and stuff. And I was like, this is cool. Like, okay, it's not all gummy bears and rainbows for everybody. Like, you know, like he was talking about living in Philadelphia, like growing up in like a small apartment, just his mom and barely making it. And I was like, oh, okay. And then it started to click for me. Oh, man, let's find out what people are about, man. Let's listen.
Terry Crews, the guy with
linebacker.
He does the muscle dances.
Dude, like,
whatever.
He was in but
like
White Chicks or
he's
whatever.
He's talked about the same stuff. Like
he builds Legos.
Social anxiety. I think he even talked about porn addiction, whether it's even – like, I don't think porn addiction's a real thing.
Really?
I don't think it is.
That could be a side topic. I want to talk about that.
I used to. I don't think it really is.
But, all right. Well, before we go to porn addiction, hold on. Like, let's go back to, like, that was my thing that related me to podcasts so much, that all these people have gone through something that we've all talked about, like Matthew McConaughey, Tom Holland, Terry Crews, Kevin Hart. Like, oh, shit. Okay, I'm not the only one. Like, they're cool people, and they've been through
something. They all went through something, and then that's where I was eventually going to lead is the antidote to anxiety.
Okay, go into that.
Their lives show the antidote to anxiety. Their lives, keyword, life, live. Go live your life. That is the key to anxiety. Go live. That's it. It's that simple.
Like stepping out of your comfort zone and just doing it?
Yes, go live. That's the key to anxiety. Go live.
That's what you would say to people who were dealing with anxiety. Just
yes, go live.
Like take a baby step. Like hey, does like
I mean, yes,
if you want to do something, just do something. Go go.
I'm just go be yourself. Go do what you like to do. Go meet the people you want to meet. Go just live. It's that simple. I mean, it's not that simple, but you get what I'm saying. You go live your life. If there's something, if there's something you're afraid of,
yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go back to Jordan Peterson.
That's
he's,
fine,
he's
Jordan.
My guy, he's my guy. He's my
I
guy.
Listen to Jordan Peterson a lot.
Anyways, it's like he talks about like a dragon in gold. You know, you got to go slay your dragons. You know, you have anxiety about a dragon, but a dragon is hiding treasure. All right, and like all the stories or whatever.
It's always somebody else say
like
the dragon,
all,
the knight,
dragon,
then
like,
gets a girl
it's
at the
always
end.
Holding a prince, whatever. So, whatever you're afraid of is actually, you're afraid of it because there's behind it is something you actually want. So
whatever like, your motivation is, whether it be the girl or
the
gold
the girl,
or...
The social, like, if you have social anxiety, probably you're looking for social interaction. So, go have some social... You see what I'm saying? Go have some social interaction. But anyways, for me, that's what I did. I guess I was probably 24, 25 years old, and I was like, you know what? I'm tired of social anxiety. I'm going to go live. I'm going to try to beat it, you know? So...
Do you feel like you beat it?
That's the key, is you can't beat it.
You never really beat it.
Yes.
But you just make waves with
All right. I could get it deep into like therapy, and you should never try to, you shouldn't try to fight. Well, I'm just going to stick to anxiety. I'm not going to get into the thoughts and all that stuff.
Okay.
But
that'd be another
yeah,
episode.
But like I said, I'm not an expert on anything. I'm just a person that's lived it. I'm no expert.
You're subjectively speaking.
I'm not a therapist. I'm not any of that. I'm just talking from my own experience.
You're not a therapist?
No, not yet. No, but anyway,
damn.
The key to, so along with anxiety comes the avoidance part. You start avoiding things that you're afraid of. So the key to overcoming is go at what you're afraid of.
And just face it head.
Face it. You got to face it head on. That's,
I agree. I agree 100%.
I mean, it's that simple. I mean.
Like I wouldn't say go out and climb Mount Everest, but hey, let me start with like Buffalo Mountain
or
something.
Yeah, I mean, you take baby steps. I mean,
right.
If you need to take baby
steps, but people
steps,
need to know
not,
that.
Yes,
though.
Yes, but that's it. Just go live your life.
You know, and one thing, I guess this kind of relates. I hope it kind of relates that I always thought that, you know, where I, you know, in Radford and stuff, that if I went and saw a movie by myself, I'd be a loser, and that was not cool. And like,
I used to think those things.
Yeah, and like, you know, and I, you know, if you go sit at the bar by yourself and you just have no one to talk to, there's nobody around you, and you're just sitting there drinking a beer and eating, it's like you're everyone's gonna look at you and feel like. But I finally got to where I did that.
Well, like for me, because I always, like I told you, you know, about eighth grade, I just started hiding from the world. I was already used to just snow. Like I go to a Wendy's, eat by myself. I go to wherever. I go anywhere. I love going to a fast food restaurant, or I like to go up to Taco Bell, just sit down, relax, get me about, you know, 5-6 tacos,
just
you know, burritos,
slap them just, things,
you know, nice Baja Blast, just, you know, tear into that stomach.
Oh.
You know? Just sit down and relax. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like, but you like, you can feel it from everybody. It's like, why is that person there alone?
Right.
And so, content, you know. Cause it's,
they're scared of it cause they're
like, because
they're afraid to do
they,
it.
Because they are afraid of it.
Exactly.
That's what it is. It's like
they're afraid, cause
when
why,
people
why?
See that one person that's just there alone and okay with it.
Everyone's scared
so
of what they don't know.
Yes, it's so intimidating.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, I wish I had the balls to do that.
But, like, for me, I was never afraid of that because that's always what I did because I was so afraid to interact with people. But now I just love going off and eating by myself somewhere. But, anyway, what were you talking about? Slaying Dragons.
Yeah.
Anxiety. Overcoming anxiety. Yes. Mm-hmm. What you do. That's it. I mean, you go live your life.
You just do something. Like, even small as that. Go eat Taco Bell by yourself.
But, I mean, don't... If you're afraid of heights, don't do bungee jumping right off the bat, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's probably not the first step, you know? Maybe go to the top of a lighthouse? Maybe.
Yeah.
Heck, if you need to have somebody holding your hand, whoever you're real comfortable with, hold your hand, and walk to the top of the lighthouse. Maybe that's the first step. Maybe it's just going to a two-story building and looking out a window.
Yeah, there's something as simple as that.
Yes,
yeah.
That's heights. You're claustrophobic, all right? Go.
Sit in the truck and roll down a window.
No. Roll the windows up. That's the first
step. Yeah, okay, I guess, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, make yourself enclosed.
You know, and if it takes 3 years to get over it,
that's okay. The thing. As long as you start something.
Yeah, just you got to start. You got to take that first step. That's it.
That's a little bit more about me. I've been doing jiu-jitsu, and the guy who's teaching us, he said, everybody was so obsessed about the belts and everything. You know, hey, man, when am I going to get a blue belt? When I'll get purple? When I'll get brown and stuff? And he was just like, you've already got the hardest belt. And we're like, what? And he's like, the white belt. And he's like, there's so many people who won't start just because they're just afraid of something or afraid of being hurt or whatever. Yeah. So he's like, you've already got the hardest belt. Now let's just put in your time. And I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got my dick hard right there. I was like, damn.
Just you got to take that first
step. It's like, yeah, the start. Like, hey,
so
I started.
For me, there were times in my life, like I told you, I just get stuck in my head. Like, am I supposed to talk to this person? What am I supposed to say to this person? How do I start a conversation with this person? What do I talk about? I used to get in this thing where, I would get anxiety about eye contact. You know, if I wanted to right now.
Because somebody's staring you in the eye?
Yeah, I could start. Like, I get that periodically even now. Like, I can get focused on the thought of, oh, shoot.
I try to make myself do it.
Just anything socially related, I could get stuck on that. So, there were times in my life, or there was years of my life, I was just afraid to go I'd be afraid to go to Walmart. What if I saw somebody I knew, you know? What if I had to talk to somebody? You know, and with COVID now, that's made people's social anxiety through the roof because people got comfortable with not interacting socially with people.
Right.
Like, it's just people before all the same people that used to be the biggest social butterflies, they all just went back to their house and became content with that. And then people that never would have had social anxiety, now a bunch of people like that have it. But anyway, back to I was real bad. I couldn't go out, you know. Or I struggled. I avoided places that I might see people. If I did have to go somewhere, I was constantly, do I talk to this person? What do I say? Blah, blah, blah. The thought monster in my head was just rapid fire, you know, anxiety. And I guess I started, I'd look up YouTube videos, you know, how do you start a conversation with people?
Sure.
Just little things like that. How do you get over social anxiety? The internet, the internet's probably what saved me. The internet, you know, I think it did. YouTube, you know,
I have no arguments for that.
Like, the internet gave me the tools to
be better.
Get over it. But anyways.
Just improve.
So, I learned, you know. I guess the best for anybody struggling with social anxiety, this is the best tip I have for you. If you're worried about what everybody thinks, or if you're worried about what somebody is thinking. Because at the root of social anxiety, you're worried about what other people are thinking, whether it's about you or just in that moment what they're thinking. This is the best advice I can give you. That person doesn't give a fuck about you. They do not give a fuck about you. Yes, there are bullies. There are people that pick. There are people that are, you know, in the moment, they'll, like, point out the person that makes a mistake. But as a whole, human beings, we're all kind of selfish. That's kind of human nature. We're all kind of selfish. We're self-centered. And in any given moment, for the most part, most people are thinking about themselves. They don't care what you're doing. So you actually have nothing to worry about. So
I agree 100%.
Like, and that's that when that concept got in my head,
made you free.
It kind of freed me. It just it allowed me to relax, and then I started to realize, you know, so that person's not worried that, you know, I'm not asking the right questions or I'm not saying the right things or what. They're probably just worried about, you know,
probably more worried about what they're doing.
Yes, that's what I'm leading to. They're worried about themselves. So then I learned I'm not actually that bad of a conversationalist myself, because I learned to listen to people. That's another thing you can do. Learn to listen. You start to listen. And then you realize, okay, people are, for the most part, are self-centered. I'm self-centered. You're probably, you know.
I agree. I won't argue with that.
That's human nature. We're all self-centered. So ask questions about people. Ask them questions. Ask them about their life.
Yeah.
Ask them what they're doing. People love, this is the next tip. People love to talk about themselves.
Oh, yes.
They do.
If you can get them going.
And honestly, like, once I got really good at just asking people questions, and it's kind of backfired because now people just sit and they tell me
everything. Like stuff you don't want to know.
They tell me
like
everything.
Why?
Just all because I learned how to listen. So that's tip number one. People don't give a fuck about you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just relax. They're not concerned about what you're doing. They're concerned about themselves. And tip number two is ask questions and listen. That's it.
I like it.
And I'm not saying those are my tips. It's just stuff I've gathered. I don't remember who. Well, I don't know what YouTube video it was, but that's how.
But that's your own experience with dealing with it, and that's what you've learned, and that's what you can help out.
That's it.
Like, tell people, like, hey, that's what you've did to get over it.
People do not give a fuck about you. They do.
And this makes sense, because some of the people when you see out, you'll probably never see them again. Who knows when? Even if you do.
Yep.
So, yeah, why worry about this person you'll never meet again in your life? Probably. Statistically speaking.
So, though, I started to learn that, you know, how to be social. And then I enjoy singing. I enjoy music. You know.
Doing some covers now.
Doing some covers.
You
want to
plug?
Yeah. No, I was gonna lead into the baby steps to that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead.
All right, so, and this goes for anything. If you want to do anything where you're on camera, you just got to take that first step. And if that first step is, say your goal is to be a podcaster or whatever, to just talk, record yourself talking.
And yeah.
Just you listen to it. Listen to it 5 times. Listen to it 20 times. Start small until you get comfortable with it. Because eventually it's like everybody hates their speaking voice. Everybody hates to hear themselves on camera.
Yes.
Start small. And eventually you're just not going to care. And you're going to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
But like for me, I always thought I sounded good. Some people had told me I sounded good. And I would record myself singing. I was on some, like, karaoke apps. I'd go in there and play, and I'd just, like, do some, you know, some songs with people, and just like, it was all, you know, anonymous, like nobody really knew, you know, who anybody was, just to see, does anybody else like this? I like it. Does anybody else like it? You know, just start small, start anonymous, and then, okay, a few people liked it.
Yeah.
Some more people liked it. Okay. You know.
Go
then
with
I
it.
Went to Snapchat. Because, like, Facebook, if you just start, you know, you start on Facebook. This is why I don't like Facebook and Instagram and all those, because of the likes, you know, the likes, the views.
Yeah,
because everybody uses that as a
gauge of
success. But really it's not, because there's too many algorithms. Some people have more friends. Some people are more engaged with the app, so they get more attention. Likes, views, really, I mean, obviously, if you consistently have a lot, you're probably better. But if you don't, it doesn't really mean anything, because maybe just nobody ever saw it.
Right.
But anyways, I first posted on Snapchat just to see, you know, because on Snapchat, nobody knows how many people see it.
Right.
Nobody knows who likes it.
Yeah.
So I used Snapchat as my gauge, because I got a bunch of private messages. And then I knew that, okay, if I post this on Snapchat, and I post it on the story, and nobody is going, like on Facebook, you know, you'll get messages because the public sphere, they're going to see it, you know.
Yeah, everybody.
So some people just comment for the sake of commenting, because they want to be a part of something.
Of course.
But on Snapchat, that's all private. So if somebody
goes
out of their way to send you a message and say, "Hey, I like that,"
it's like genuinely.
It means it's genuine. It's a real interaction.
I never thought about it like that.
And I got that. And that was my way. That was my little safety net. You know.
Sure.
I just put it there because nobody knew. You know, who's seeing it. Nobody knew who liked it. People are seeing it, but I don't actually know if they like it, but. The fact that I got private messages, I was like, oh,
yeah, there's something going on. Yeah.
So then I went to Facebook. And I've tried YouTube, but it's kind of hard. Or TikTok. It's just too much.
Yeah, all the mainstreams are just.
Now my goal is just, I want to get out there in the world and play. And that's it. If people, like, I want to actually play on stages. I want to play wherever. And people like it, great. If they don't, that's okay.
Do you have any thing coming up? Like, I know you did the thing at Doghouse, or Dogtown.
I played at Dogtown, and I've actually, me and another guy, we have a band. It's called the Devin Dalton Band. What he made
on Instagram.
Yeah,
I've seen it. I follow it.
And he's trying to make publishing, or is it? I'm bad with all these words, but he's trying to make like a record label, something like that. He's trying to make a publishing company. He lives like 4 miles from me.
Okay.
And so we played at Dogtown, and he made the band, you know, you had to come up with a band name, like, to go up on the stage. He made it Devin Dalton Band, and he's trying to work. We're trying to get like 40 songs together and
start playing.
But because I'm a singer first. For years, I just cheated on the guitar play. Like, I never actually was right. I mean, my timing is Devin Dalton standard, and it's not the standard time signature for stuff. So I kind of made up my own system, which, you know, it ain't. Is it right? I don't know. Is it wrong? I don't know. But anyways, I'm going back to the base. I've went back to square one. I'm back on YouTube. I'm back watching simple timing videos.
Getting it back.
Down, up, strumming.
Doing traditional way of learning.
I'm just back to the basics so that I can actually, you know.
Do it the right way?
I mean, I can get up. If somebody else is playing guitar, I can sing, whatever. But I want to be able to do both. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm working on my guitar playing and trying to get out there in the world and play.
Devin, I love it, man. I think it's a good way to take this podcast home right there. I know we've been talking for a while, and I think we've talked about some good things tonight. And but, yeah, you want to plug Devin Dalton Band on Instagram or anything? And we'll take this home on that. Like, I like it. I like the way that sounds, man, before we get anything deeper.
Plug, when you say plug, like...
Oh, yeah, like your Instagram, Devin Dalton Band. Like, if people want to get at you, if people want to talk about anxiety,
for me, a person with anxiety, I have a hard time talking about myself.
Okay.
Or, like, promoting myself.
Okay. It's I'm just asking. You don't have to.
No, I mean, I will. I'm just saying because eventually you got to do it. But it's just like, I guess I'm kind of...
So your Instagram is Devin Dalton Band.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I follow it. That's what it is. At Devin Dalton Band.
At Devin Dalton Band.
Cool.
I also have Snapchat. That's where things are a little more personal.
Do you want to give that out?
Yeah. Snapchat is Big Dev 2020. Big Dev, BIGDEV 2020. Big Dev 2020. There, I just, you know, I do some covers, and I'm just myself. I'm stupid. I act stupid.
I'm going to say you act stupid. You just put your content out. You put your music out.
I'm just saying I do others, you know. I just live my life. I just show the world that this is who I am, and I don't really care if you don't like it.
Well, you said it earlier. Go live, baby, right? Live, baby. I'll cheers to you on that, and we'll call this a night. Later, folks. We're out of here.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.